Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest episode of In Need of Attention. I'm checking all the stuff.
What is up? What is up?
I'm here with a guest for the first time in a while, the first repeat guest that doesn't live in my house.
Yeah.
It is David Chimisura. Welcome back.
How's it going, guys? How's it going, man?
America. Welcome back to
America. I'm going full Eddie Murphy.
There you go. Literally. That's funny. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Welcome. Glad to be here.
All the stuff. You've been here before, so I won't ramble on about the podcast and all the things, but it's a safe space. I believe there's more for people. Better is available. And this conversation will go as good as we're willing to make it. So
let's make it a good one. We always do.
With all that said, how are you today?
I'm doing good, dude. Mm-hmm. Woke up, got some editing work done.
Good.
Been back in the States for about 5 weeks.
Okay.
Got about 5 weeks left.
Mm-hmm. Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. So funny enough, just like starting to get my groove and then...
You'll leave.
And then I'll be out of here.
Yeah. There you go. So you've been back for 5 weeks, got five more weeks. You'll leave roughly kind of between, in real time, like citing all this, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, that sort of timing.
Yeah.
What is the weather like in Zimbabwe when you go back?
It's gonna be legitimately like right after rainy season. So think about it as like post spring.
Okay.
So a little bit, actually mostly like summer, really. I think we're going into the summer and it's tropical and it's very nice.
You kind of the type of black you are. you would love a good,
you know,
Ohio fall.
You love a good Ohio fall, and then
so
we
it feels
dip.
Like you're gonna get that and then get to still experience what you truly want to. So
I think I'm becoming a real bird.
There you go.
Where it's like I pick which parts of the season I like in a place, and I'll go to that place.
Sure.
And then I'll leave when it gets terrible.
Yeah. You know?
Sure. I'm a runner. I'm a track star.
That's so dumb.
But yeah, that's what I'm going to be walking back into.
So the last time I had you on the podcast, I felt like I told you this and you shared the sentiment. We had a really good conversation.
Yeah.
Just talking about creativity, both of our experience with stuff. Talked about being a man right now, being a woman right now, like just all this different stuff because of your kind of diverse work background as well as just life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were getting ready to go back. So you're getting ready to go to Zimbabwe. You've been back a couple times, but we're recording.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what your kind of, this feels kind of existential, but like your perspective on life and the world and all this stuff going into that? And then how did that change now that you've been there for 10 months? 12 months, whatever it's been.
Yeah. Being back home, I'd say probably a little bit of context. Like, I don't know if we talked about it last time, but I hadn't been in Zimbabwe in about 12 years prior to.
Mm-hmm.
So in that time, I hadn't started as an artist. I hadn't photography, comedy, filmmaking, all these things that are now core parts of like my identity, but also like my life skill set that pays for what I want to do and helps me build a life didn't exist yet. So the impression and the version of me that I am now that has been built around that, even my family and my friends had no context of where it was going to go. So going into it, I'd probably say my perspective on life was like, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go see what home is like and be around the familiar, just do all that, but also see like if all of this is a seed, how does it actually fit into the place that the seed actually comes from, but now that I'm a little bit of a hybrid, how does it fit into the ground that I'm going to be bopping back in? So there's definitely like I walked in with a plan. Like, I think it was smart to walk in with a plan, but also because of Zimbabwe and life in general, just like you're going to have so many parts of this just chipped away just because you're in a completely different environment. And I got to go through that process in a very interesting and I'd say specific way of just like so many of the, none of my values change, but how I see them applied have now become updated by the version of life that I've lived now. So that's been interesting. That's been pretty fun.
Yeah, the context of maybe plans or dreams or the skills you now have
yeah.
are very quickly just funneled through a very different lens.
Yeah.
Like just even way of being actionable, right? Like mm-hmm. we talk all the time about like storytelling, and you're talking about like you just did some writing and you feel like you're halfway through a pilot and all this stuff. It's like, okay, well with that, you're like, what do I do? Oh, well, I'm ready at a film, yeah. like festival, a comedy thing. They go, oh, like, what are you working on? Oh, I have this, right?
Yeah.
To see that kind of example out, like you're in Zimbabwe, you have this pilot, this is the true thing. Like you will have it.
Yeah.
Someone comes up to you, like, what context would you go, like, oh, I have something. Oh, I have this sort of thing. Like,
what's the context?
And, yeah. and then how would you, like, go about that? Because here it feels very, like, I have to be at the festival. I have to be at the thing.
Yeah. The context of Zimbabwe as a whole is, like, another one is we are about, like, a 60-70% informal economy. So just because of everything that Zimbabwe has gone through on the world stage, because even as a small African country, we have had presence in the world stage.
Sure.
And partly because of our previous leadership, we got just kind of like annexed from the rest of the world from a business standpoint. So now there's a whole lot of interest that's kind of coming in, but it really just depends on how are you able to build your own thing on mm-hmm. your own. Mm-hmm. And then it seems as if structures come into play once you know how to build your own system. Mm-hmm. So you don't really, you just come in knowing what you want to do and how to do it, because everybody's almost running in their own kinds of lanes. It's interesting, you'll see that even play out in how the way that people will drive. In some places, it will give you a heart attack of just like, oh my God, what is going on? But it's because it's such an energetic place where you meet, same deal. You meet like-minded people. You have to have the resources that you need to be able to do your own thing. But the difference now is that you have an afforded ability of scale. Sure. I think the thing now is like you have to think about once your product is now made, and I think that might be the question yeah. that you're answering, yes. is yeah. how do you distribute mm-hmm. it? Honestly, you figure that out and you do it your own way. Yeah. And it's very exciting mm-hmm. and it's very daunting at the same time. Where it's just like you just go and you make that happen.
Right. It feels more streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that same sentiment is, I mean, it's pretty true here too. And we would believe, I'll speak for myself. I would believe like, oh well, there's powers that be that would I have to get to or through
mm-hmm.
in order to be able to have the success I want. And while that yeah. can be true to a point, a lot of times that really is just a handicap on my ability to like progress, move, and like
yeah,
actualize what I want.
And I think it's in a lot of it that something that Zimbabweans have very much learned is like there are powers that be that can hinder and or aid your success. But at the end of the day, when you're waiting for that to be the thing that creates your impetus to create, a lot of that is rooted in there's some kind of work that you don't want to do
right.
to be able to do this thing so that it grows. It's like sometimes, all right, if you are the executive of a building, sometimes we're like, oh, I'm the executive of a building. But it's like, oh, sometimes you got to sweep the floors. So sometimes yeah. it's like, nah, if I'm making enough whatever, then somebody else should be the one to sweep the floors. And in Zimbabwe, it's like, no, sometimes you're the executive and sometimes you sweep the floors. That's just how it is sometimes. Yeah. And people have embraced that, I'd say, a lot more. And the people that have managed to achieve scale embrace that a whole lot more yeah. Yeah. because what happens when there are no powers that be? Sometimes it felt like that in Zimbabwe where yeah. people were just like, the systems have failed. Now there's a whole lot of change happening, but there was a very real reality of a lot of folks who are just like,
yeah.
every single possible system that you can rely on does not work for you.
Right.
So what do you die?
Mm-hmm.
And that sure. can be applied sure. on so many things.
yeah. Yeah. It feels dramatic, but it is the life and death of not just your life, but mm-hmm. the things you're trying to achieve and
yeah.
your dreams and that sort of stuff.
And it can be a very dramatic place. Yeah, it's Africa, sure. bro. Africa yeah, is not sure. no hoe. Like it is.
Yeah, yeah. Close the gap between as we would watch TV and believe yeah. Africa is this desert land and everyone talks a certain way and looks a certain way. It's like,
mm-hmm.
any real person would know, like,
yeah,
developed country with cities and things and all the stuff.
Big things.
All the stuff. But
so much. The higher ceilings than I've ever seen anywhere in my life. And I'm talking about just intellect, resources, wealth, all of that. Mm-hmm. I have seen the highest of it.
Yeah.
But also the worst part of it is like, no, those lows still really exist.
Right. Yeah.
There are people that are still having to live life in what feels like yesteryear, mm-hmm. just because there's a disconnect that hasn't, there's still a long,
right.
there's a disconnect that's still very apparent, mm-hmm. and at points becomes super apparent.
Yeah.
So it will open your eyes. You're like, oh my God, wait, all of this is going on? This is insane.
Yeah.
And then at the same, and again, it's almost kind of like the previous conversation where it's like the duality of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that I've been exploring the most is seeing the duality in the world, like the duality that I started to pick up on over here and how that applies over to where I'm from.
Sure.
Where it's just like with the place called Cincinnati, so many people have such a specific picture of it, and then people get here and they're like, oh, I did not know it was like this, and then it's like, oh, I did not know it was like this,
right?
And it's pretty much the exact same back home, which is like the context of it is super different. Every context is super different, but you'll notice a lot of themes are pretty much the same.
Sure. How do you, it feels kind of dumb to say, but I mean, you're living a life. You're living a life, and just because you're not local to me doesn't mean you're not going through things every day.
Yeah.
You're not having to problem solve, figure things out, different stuff. How have you, and maybe you haven't, found a way to connect like your everyday and the life you're living now to the life you had here when you come back?
Yeah.
Because for me, I can speak as like your friend, like, oh, David's back. I know David this way.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, David's lived 10 months of life. Like, and so David's different now,
mm-hmm.
but I don't necessarily know that per se, right?
Yeah.
How do you kind of, to the duality, to the context being the same and all these things, how do you kind of reckon with or come to a kind of conclusion when it comes to, hey, I'm back home,
mm-hmm.
not home, but home.
Yeah.
My friends, the community, the thing I miss, how do I exist within that now
for
a 10-week period?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing I'm going to exit and return whenever.
Like, yeah. I deal with it, I mean, just by noticing, trying to notice as much as possible about what's going on. I've been telling, like, friends, when friends ask, like, how I'm doing, I've just been like, I'm noticing the passage of time a lot more. And part of that is just, like, the job is just, like, noticing how have these last 10 months affected the people that I do care about, not do care about, but like the people that I care about, my through lines, the people that I constantly text and communicate with, the people that are a part of just like my life going on forward,
right.
because I'm living life, but my people are still my people and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But also being back, it's like with so much having happened because 2025 has also been not no ho. Like it's not been scared to make people scared.
Yeah.
So
we've been having a lot of years like that. Can we just have a year that's like, it's pretty easy. I don't know. Like this is pretty good. Everything's up. Like, let's just stay here.
I feel like we all had the illusion of 2016. That's probably what it's like.
Yeah,
or 2019. We just didn't know.
We just didn't know.
But I'm seeing, all right, how has this year been affecting the people that I care about? And seeing that is like how that affects how I'm processing. It's like, I think, I don't know. I'm not paying too much attention to me in that sense.
Sure.
Where I think I'm kind of more invested in noticing what's going on.
Yeah.
If there's something that is out of whack and something that has drastically shifted in me, I think it'll show in the difference in interaction that I have with people.
Sure.
Where it's like, if I'm shorter on my fuse, I feel like I'll notice like, oh, dang, I'm getting in a lot more arguments. I'll probably say like the thing that I notice, I definitely like to stay out the way a lot more. I'm like it's very fun to just kind of like be aware of what's going on, but not be in the mix all the time.
Sure.
I think that was one of the things that was just like nice to be back home, because like in my mind, the place that I would always go to when I get overwhelmed by being outside was my home back home.
And I'm actually there.
So now that I have a real context again for that, it's just like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, cool. I can just mentally go back there. I know what that feels like, that feeling of home.
Sure.
So now I'm trying to just rest a lot more in that. But yeah. I'd probably say I'm more invested in just kind of seeing what's been going on and how people are, the weight that people are carrying now, as opposed to 2024 when I left.
Sure, sure. How has, like, renewing that, like, safe space, how has being back home and getting reacclimated and everything, how has that colored or maybe changed what you feel like you are chasing, you've wanted, you've been dreaming of? Like, has it? And if it has, how did it kind of change that?
I think it confirmed and it, oh, I mean, it's like, again, the laying the seed in the ground. I'm now a hybrid of like in, I've been cross-pollinated between two places. So now it's like, okay, great. Like, am I like a lemon citrus kind of a deal? Am I grapefruit? What's going on over there? Yeah. I think it's only one of those things where, how it's changed it is just, it just naturally has. I feel like the way I compose certain things is different now, because part of adjusting to being a different place is like outside of the normal, like get up, shower, do human things, you have to let the context that you're in change drastically change you. Yeah. Otherwise you will not survive it. Mm-hmm. So I think I got a better gauge of like what is needed to be held onto, what needs to be pruned off for this specific environment.
Sure.
And it's just through noticing of like, okay, so if I'm making a film or I'm telling a story, Zimbabweans don't like talkies too much. They want to see visual action. They want to be enticed visually. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of my stuff was very talky a little bit. Sure. Now how am I to being able to, because I want to be able to translate whatever it is I'm making over to the people that are in my vicinity and also over there. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? It's been a test of like, oh, I know everything isn't going to be a hit. But I'm just testing, engaging, and seeing how can I get good and honest reaction out of the things that I make. And that happens by tailor making the things that I'm doing myself, even just how I talk, to make everything a lot more inviting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I think it's insightful too, just because what I hear you saying is not only does being in another environment, living in another environment force you to adjust and change. But from that adjustment and changing, you know, it gives you an extra tool or language you might not have had before. Like I used the example the other day, we were talking about podcasting and stuff, and it's like the musician of like, oh, if you make songs for other people for 5 years, demos and all this stuff, when you come back to make your own music, you might have some vocal abilities and some tools you learned along the way mimicking other people to help them, that now you're like, oh, this actually adds to what I'm trying to do.
Absolutely, it does.
Yeah.
And it always stomps on the lie that you are always the best version of you right now.
Sure.
You can be a good version of you right now, but you can always improve upon that. And that only happens by changing your context. Mm. Because a lot of people will develop a silo because they are sometimes convinced that, let me stay in this one place because I've done it. Mm. And now the world is the place that has to adjust towards this setting of thing that I've built. And if they don't, it's their fault. Mm. No, go outside. Touch some grass, talk to people, see what hits, see what doesn't, actually have real honest conversation. Yeah. Let that really affect the thing.
Yeah.
And you will realize, oh, you still have so much growth to do.
Right.
And if you are a wise person, that excites you.
Yeah.
Because it's, you having to admit that there's so much room to grow is an admission that you're not perfect.
Sure.
And that's a very tough thing to do all the time.
For some. For
some. But that is the catalyst of growth, yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Is the whole deal of like ignorance is the beginning of, sure, knowledge. It's, sure, literally just be like, I'm a dummy.
Yeah.
And, sure, go out there and let be informed. And you, yeah, actually see, oh, you become better and wiser just by acknowledging your own dumminess, acknowledge that you're supposed to, sure, be a dummy in a sense,
sure,
and then just go out and see what happens.
Yeah, we found the part where we're going to park for the next 30 minutes. This is the area. So buckle in. This is what we're going to talk about the rest of the time.
Let's do it.
You're saying stuff that are along a lot of the lines of pods I made by myself or, mm-hmm, even just been experiencing myself.
Yeah.
And I don't find typically that the message or idea that you should recognize you don't know anything and that makes you stronger resonates very well.
Well, and truth doesn't resonate with people.
It really doesn't.
That's why we want AI.
Listen, we'll get there also. And what I've found is, you know, I resonate a lot with what you're saying. Mm. I am not currently the best version of me.
Mm.
And it's hard to show up every day knowing I'm not the best version of me.
Mm.
Because I would hope that I could give my best and it be my best.
Yeah.
And currently my best isn't that.
Mm. Mm.
And so I've had some people be like, who cares? And I'm like, well, I care. And then some people who are like, well, what makes you think that? And I'm like, look around, you know, I'm like, come on, right? But it speaks to this thing of, you know, some people are so busy day in, day out, figuring it out, doing, yeah, their thing, whether they want to be ignorant or not,
mm-hmm,
unaware of kind of where they stand, like internally, intrinsically,
yeah,
in this world, in their life, in their family, like,
yeah.
And I'm the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I am so aware.
Yeah.
Of where I'm at on the world stage, in my family,
yeah,
in my profession, all these things, that sometimes I really have to bring myself back to the reality of, does that fully matter?
Yeah.
When it comes to the day in and out, the doing your job, doing your work, all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I've just found that type of message hasn't not only resonated with people, but confuses a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you've also found that to be true? Do you experience that yourself? Do I sound like a madman? Like, kind of, when, yeah, you hear me say that, how do you react?
For me, when I think about like the idea of like, all right, if you're not the best version of you right now and you still show up, you're a better version of you than you were yesterday. And how much more freeing would it be if you started with your day being like, not in like a guilty way, but just in a place of just being like, I am at zero. I know nothing. I know who I am. I know the things around me, but I know nothing. And then I let the day inform me. And I'm just present and I'm just sitting around and I'm letting all of the instances of the day fill me back up to 100, whether it's a good day or a bad day. And then you go to bed and you're like, oh, I actually learned a whole lot more about life than I did early on this day because at least I admitted to myself that I'm a zero. And if you can learn 24 hours worth of life in a day, you've learned a lot more life than a lot of people do in 10 years.
Sure.
So it's actually allow yourself to be freed by the fact that, you know, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay. It's cool and it's helpful because it all happens with showing up every single day.
Yeah.
It's in this continuum of a life, right, in this continuum, yeah, of a thing.
For sure.
You would be surprised how many of the people that we considered to be the greats who were rattled with self-doubt, rattled with fear, rattled with whatever.
Right.
But the long arc of their life is just like, whoa, that person was on fire all that time. But if you look into the center of the star, you're like, oh, that's just like a person that was just trying to figure it out.
Right.
And they just got put into context and every single thing is just being like,
yeah,
and let me just figure it out.
Right.
I recently learned that like Lawrence of Arabia isn't just a movie. That was like a real dude who was like the bastard son of like a British aristocrat.
Okay.
Who joined the British army in like World War II. And he got sent into like a British, like an intelligence post somewhere in the desert. And then this dude who's just like a white rebel-y dude and then disappears for like 2 years. And then he comes back and all of the Turks love him or all of the Arabians love him. And he's just like a guy to the point where they call him Lawrence of Arabia. And at the center, and he was just like known for like great feats of heroism, blah, 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 white propaganda stuff, you know?
Sure.
But if you look at what people said about him, they're like, he was very meek, full of self-doubt. He would constantly, not necessarily chastise himself for how much little he was doing, but he was always this guy that was just like, what is going on? Right. And I'm just in this thing. But what I would posit to what I would venture to say, ask yourself about this guy,
yeah,
is to being able to, and I feel a little bit of just like surviving in Zimbabwe, I had to allow myself to be at zero so many times, because if there was something that I was just holding on to, because like, no, I finished yesterday at 85, so now I'm at 85, so now I can just coast. It's like, nah, dude, this life thing will just rattle you to the point where you're back at zero.
Sure.
So if I'm allowing myself to wake up at zero, even if I'm at 85, that allows the ceiling to continually go up, because now what my ceiling was for the previous day is now my floor for the new day. Mm-hmm. And it kind of rests on the idea of like, you get to refresh yourself every single day.
Sure. Yeah. It's something a lot of people get stuck in the race of their own life. You know, I don't have I don't have the margin to look for a new job. I don't have the margin to create rest and space for myself to just get to a place where I enjoy what I'm doing or I can consume things I want to consume. I don't have the means to be able to go out on this or that and find something just purely for either enjoyment or like rest and kind of recovery. And so the closest thing to caring for yourself you get is sleep.
Yeah.
And that varies and it comes and goes, and the quality of it, you know, comes and goes and that sort of thing. And so people are just left going like, they look up and they go, man, I remember when I was this, how did I get here?
Yeah.
And they just look up and time has just flown by, right? Like the older you get, I'm experiencing it, I'm sure you are too. It's just like, man, feels like I blinked and all this stuff happened in my life. I feel like I blinked and now my life is in this place for better or worse.
Yeah.
And it can be a moment of disheartening, or what an amazing opportunity to like seize the day. And like you're saying, kind of like give yourself the posture in the place of like, whether I'm at zero, 85, whatever in between, I have an opportunity to go into my day, interact with other people and learn so much more about the human condition, the world around us, and at the end of the day, how all those things kind of amalgamate into this version of who I am currently.
Yeah. Right?
And I would say we're more powerful when we ask questions than when we assume we have the answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And out of those questions, we can create solutions all the way from the short term to the long term to the big vision, all the stuff.
Yeah.
But that when we feel like we have the answer, that's when we might be our most doomed.
Yeah.
Is there an area in your life where you feel like you had an answer and this move, this transition, this going back between both places has forced you to go, I just was plainly wrong. And I now am trying to learn, grow, and find a solution. Because I don't think I think what I had was not it.
Yeah. I'd say probably the biggest one of that one is just sometimes there's an arrogance that comes with just like, they're going to immediately love everything about me because look at me, I'm new or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, no, dude, maybe part of it is like, they like what you have to offer or whatever. part of what you think is awesome may not be awesome. So you have to go back to the drawing board or just look, and let's get a clearer look in the mirror of what it is I'm actually translating. And it might not even be a bad thing. It might just be something that's not for that ground.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I would say there's definitely a part of me that's just like, I'll go back and I'll immediately let me do it. And again, it's just arrogant sometimes just holding on to a picture in your mind. But that was the thing that I just had to relearn the lesson of, like, not right. This for it to work, it just has to be informed by you being in the place every single day,
yeah.
Having your mind and your feet planted onto here, creating things that are for here.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't think I came in, I like the fact that I came in back home relatively quiet.
Sure.
Because I have my own way of announcing things, but I don't always be like, hey, sure. that's just not how it is. Mm-hmm. But there was definitely, I'd say, a part of me that was just like expecting certain things to just be immediately just goes. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, no, that's not how that works. Stop looking. This move that you made is not a shortcut.
Right.
I think there was definitely a part of me that was just like the frustration that I was trying to, that I was sure. feeling with the spot that I was trying to get to was, oh, maybe I can just go back home and it'll be a shortcut just because yeah. I come from there and da 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 da, all of the things. Yeah. But it's like, no, you still got time. The road is a little bit different. You're actually allowed to go a little bit faster, further, whatever, all sure. the great things. But make no mistake, you're making a big move, but it is not a shortcut. That was definitely probably the biggest thing that I had to learn.
Yeah, it's almost like this. Kind of, I'm thinking about it in this way of like, you know, the we're talking about like you're almost like presence of mind, like not only being present, but like the presence of my current mind in an effort to be balanced, be healthy, being just in a spot where I can continue to grow.
Yeah.
Requires my ego to die.
10,000% always.
And it's like this thing of like, I've said this in my head a million times of just being like, dude, I'm past this. I just purely and honestly have done enough to have more than this or to be past this.
God,
I'm so past this by now. And that feeling of like past this is so deep and intrinsic to what I believe.
It's the ego. It's the ego.
What I believe I have done, earned, represent, mean. And just because I believe that does not mean anyone else feels that way. And I'm just, it's funny because you have to wrap your brain around, like, just no one else sees that.
Not, what's so funny is like, I would, getting back home and seeing just how little certain things matter. Like, for example, we live in Cincinnati, love the Bengals. In Cincinnati, there's this feeling that the Bengals they control the weather when they do bad. And then you get to Zimbabwe and they're like, what's a Joe Burrow? What do they do? Is it a cleaning business? Yeah. Do they sell shuffles? No. The Burrow. It's like, no.
No.
In Cincinnati, that's God.
Yeah.
But in Zimbabwe, they're like, what is that?
Yeah.
So it's that thing of just like, you just have to throw in and apply that to yourself.
Right.
Where it's like, what are the things where I'm just like, God's like, he's cooked me or perfect. Why are they not receiving it immediately? And then you get somewhere and they're like, okay. Yeah. You have to feel that and you're like, back to the drawing board.
Yeah, right. That's funny. Yeah, man. It's something that I think when you really experience something like that, like this death of what you believe about yourself or that you've earned or all this stuff, for the first time, it's not everyone else's fault.
Uh-huh.
It's like the onus is kind of on you. Like, you can either stay stuck and feeling like you've it's like the meme of the guy who's like, he gets like the like medal. He's like, he's like biting on it. And it shows he's in like 20th place.
Exactly.
And it's like nowhere near the top. He's like, yeah, I did it. All this stuff. It's just like, we all know someone like that. And you become that person. And you're just like, man, how did I start celebrating stuff from 5 years ago that no one even cares about anymore? What happened? Time has passed. They moved on. I thought I did too, but I didn't.
Uh-huh.
I'm still there, accepting my award.
You're Johnny Manziel.
And wearing it, dude.
You're Johnny Manziel.
Johnny freaking football, dude.
It's a real syndrome.
What do you mean? I'm a superstar. We're even paying players back then. I got paid.
I got so much money.
And it's like you're built, though.
Yeah.
Like 35-year-old Johnny Manziel. What else?
And then you look at the real thing. It's very funny we landed on this specific metaphor, because you look at Johnny Manziel went into the Cleveland Browns. Everyone's like, it's the money sign.
Yeah.
And then right now, Baker Mayfield went into the Cleveland Browns just an unwanted person. Even though, they drafted high for him.
Sure.
But when he got there, they realized, oh, he's an unwanted person. And then his career was tough for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was the daily, just like, he had that thing in him. He was never as white hot as Johnny Manziel was up there. But like, look at him now, though, because he had to get formed into this thing. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
And it's like, they were inverse personalities. They were confident. They're known for the thing, but it's just like one was willing to submit themselves into the process.
Sure.
Because if you put in the ego of a Johnny Manziel into the talent of a Baker Mayfield, Baker Mayfield still is a bust.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield still retires. But Baker Mayfield, for all of the things, he was willing to submit himself to the ass kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of that,
That
dude's white hot right now. Yeah, he's maintained. Sure. He still got it. That's for the thing. Sure. Is like it just needed to be formed into the right ground that it was supposed to go into, so that it can.
And it just kind of bodes or points to the question of like, at what point do you or do you not give up on somebody? Like you're talking about, I'm very familiar with this analogy. Like, he's drafted number one, Baker was, and they essentially gave up on him at a certain point.
Yeah.
Now, I would venture to say they would love if they could him back with the results and the things and the grown up he is and the leader, father, like all this stuff. But I understand it's very different. They gave him millions of dollars, so it's different. But, there have been points in my life, your life, different places where you go, oh man, they gave up on me.
Yeah. Oh,
at 20 something.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't worth the cost anymore.
Yeah.
I now have to either stay there in the past, look at all this stuff, or go. There's so much more that will lead me to become the leader, person, all these things that I am.
Yeah.
And it's not about making people want you or look back or whatever.
Not at all.
But it's about becoming who you like need to be, want to be, and the person you're like meant to be. I don't know if there's a question really in that at all, but just at what point are we giving up on people too soon? Are we doing them a great service actually because we were forcing them to like figure
to grow
it out?
It's such an interesting question that you're posing. I think on one side, it's like when do you stop giving up on people? It's like when you look at someone and then you just go, man, I shouldn't have given up on that person. That's just something that you learn that way.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people that are given up on, the ones that are the ones that have the favor that has been lost, and now you're just going, well, it's the simple of like, I haven't given up on me. As long as I cannot give up on me long enough, I'll get to where I need to go. And it's submitting yourself to the process, because when you can, it's submitting yourself to the process. It's like at one point, if you are an executive and again, you're sweeping the floor, at some point that's going to eat at your ego.
Yeah.
And then when you realize like, oh, I haven't given up on me, you also will recognize, and that's also the power of community. even if Baker Mayfield was a bust, I'm sure there are people that in his life that right. would still not have given
yeah.
up on
so
him.
So what? Yeah.
So what?
You're my husband, my brother, you're my best friend. Yep. Like
You're still Baker to somebody.
Right. Yeah.
So it's one of those where it's like, recognize the things that you have. And that's the thing of like, you can start to do a lot of stuff easier when you recognize what you have. Yeah. You recognize what you're doing it for too.
Yeah. Yeah. Healthy attachment to the things that matter, not being attached to the perception and result of what you did before.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like, you know, you could get into something because of the love for the game. I just love this. And it just morphs and changes, right? I quote Billie Eilish a million times because I like her music, but also it's just like the things I once enjoyed just keep me employed now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you just lose that love because it's like, well, I just can't afford to either take this risk or I can't afford this result.
Yeah.
And what that is an unhealthy attachment to the result that's now gains me versus a healthy attachment to who this says I am and how it shapes who I am and it not being who I am.
Yeah.
Right. We see this with athletes in sports, musicians, anyone who is in a dopamine sensitive job.
Yeah.
Right? I get attention. That attention feels amazing when it goes well. And even when it doesn't go well, there's still a degree at which it can fuel me and lead to a point where then now it's all gone.
Yeah.
And I am at a dopamine loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep getting ads on Instagram for creatine and telling me to download apps because I'm dopamine addicted.
Yeah.
But it's this like approval centric, like results based.
Yeah.
Good job. I'm proud of you. Here's more money, run faster, run harder. And it's just like to kind of reorient yourself into a mindset and a place where you go, that's all great. I love that. I want to be successful. And that doesn't define me. That's not who I am.
Yeah.
It kind of changes you of like, I've had this thought a lot of like, oh, maybe I was a better employee when I was unhealthily connected to all of this stuff because I was obsessed with it.
Oh, 10,000%.
And
you
now
were like,
I'm not. And people are like, why aren't you motivated? I was like, I don't think it's that I'm not motivated. I just don't care as much anymore. And before, it's all I cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something where I think there's a fine line between, you know, do you want the people who work for you or with you to be unhealthy and high capacity, highly productive? Or do you want them to be healthy, balanced, and to experience the fullness of life at a cost to their effectiveness?
Yeah.
Does it have to be that extreme both sides, or is there a happy
because I mean the standard structure of things is like you can be replaceable. Mm-hmm. So we can stress you out to the point of let's see what your maximum capacity is. And then when you burn out, we can just find a new one. But now we know what the ceiling is. That's a way of this world that sometimes operates. And to choose to be someone, because sometimes the unhealthy to be, it's not even just like effectiveness of tasks sometimes that gets you ahead in the work of this world. That's just like job. In job world, effectiveness at how you do your 100%. Job is not always what dictates how far you go. Sometimes it's, are you willing to stomp on people?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are obsessed enough about this thing, then you will stomp on 100%. People. And even though it eats away you inside, my God, doesn't the money look long? Isn't it doing everything that you wanted to? And turns out it's not.
Yeah.
And you were talking about quality of sleep. Now you're robbed of the thing that you can't buy is the ability to sleep.
Yeah, peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
Yeah.
So you constantly have to be aware of what is, and then the other side of it is actually just creating what is sustainable.
Yeah.
Of when we're dreaming here, but when an organization realizes like, oh, maybe this person still has their skill set, but maybe they need to detach from this specific aspect of it so that they can be refreshed. Obviously, we're dreaming here,
right?
But that's that's where you kind of hope that it could be.
Sure.
But I was thinking of, as you were speaking a little bit, there's this like illustration that just kept coming into my mind, particularly like how we, at least a little bit of how people approach the work of their lives. And it's just like, imagine you're at like a, like at a beach and you're told that you have to build 1,000 sandcastles, right? So now, and now every single time you, and it's like 1,000 sandcastles and you win $1 bajillion, whatever it may be, the reward at the end. Every single time you're at 5 or 6, the water comes and washes them away. Like there's two ways of thinking about it. It's like, oh, all of my sandcastles have been destroyed, so now I have to constantly be in this state of hurry. Okay, now, all right, what if I can hire these 10 guys and then make sure we can get 1,000, da, da, da. Or you can just look at it, it's like the 5 that you built and the ones that got washed away all still count. Even though people can't see them.
I like African proverbs.
You know what I mean?
Clock it. Yeah, that's you're right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like in the grand totality of your life, the it's 5, not lost. It's not lost. Yeah.
That's good.
So even though it may be unseen, it is not lost. So now you can just get to make your 5 in the piece.
Yeah.
Of like, and then you just get better each time that you get, every time they washed away, you build nicer and nicer ones.
Yeah.
They get cleaner. And then, you know, by the time that you get to your 1,000 and you get your $1 billion, you're going to actually build a real, because you were just willing to let it, you were willing to let it wash away versus homeboy that's now got a construction site that's going nowhere.
He's like, I'm leasing equipment. I don't know what's going on.
He's selling timeshares.
It's great on my taxes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I really like that. And I like where you took us there and everything of, you know, it starts in this place of, you know, if you're willing to compromise other people, you're willing to compromise yourself. And at the end of the day, you know, whatever you kind of live by or who you are, if you're willing to kind of give up other people, you're willing to give up the things that make you. Mm. At the point that you've lost what's made you, what have you gained?
Yeah.
Right. And alongside of that, like, you know, perspective is everything, right? Like, you know, the concept of it's not lost just because it was washed away.
Just because it was washed away.
And for a lot of people, it's like, no, it it's nothing. It's gone. I had nothing to show for it.
Uh-huh.
What now, right? And it's how do you kind of value wisdom?
Yeah.
How do you value experience? You know, if I'm sitting across from you, this is a thing I have to do because it's my job. I coach people.
Yeah.
And kind of it's like creative and communication and like the tangible stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm just talking to people about how they can get a higher capacity and how they can connect better or more with people.
Yeah.
And so there's all these ways to like sell people or like signing up and whatever.
10,000%.
But what I found is the most effective is like, okay, David, like, you know, you're sitting in front of me and you want a higher capacity. Mm-hmm. Well, if you continue at the rate you're going, like what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And that's someone's like nightmare. Like, I can't make it. Like, it's not sustainable, whatever. It's like, okay, well, what would happen if you had a higher capacity? Like, at the end of meeting with me, talking to me, like, you had a larger capacity for everything.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I don't know, but my life would be better.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, well, what number then would you not pay for that?
Yeah.
Right? Like, as we put a price to things, when would you not be willing to pay for the very things you feel like you desire most and want in your life?
Yeah.
And at that intersection, it's like, hey, this is readily available to you. You just have to be guided in the right direction. And when it comes to, let's say, capacity for the example, capacity, a lot of times people think like, oh, I can just accomplish and achieve more.
Yeah.
And more than anything, it's a shift of perspective, like you're saying, of like, no, more capacity is reorienting your time, space, and mental towards the things that you love.
10,000%.
Right. It's I worked with this guy and he was like, yeah, I always just talking about people who work for him and all these different things. I'm like, oh, 3 sessions. And I'm like, okay, can I take a guess here? And I basically retorted this guy's entire life to him. And I'm like, it sounds like really what you're saying is you're afraid that the results of other people's work, actions, and whatever will reflect back onto you. And if you don't have control of that, you can't prepare for your worst fear.
Yeah.
Does that sound accurate? And he's like, it does. Yes. Yeah. And he's like, I talked to my wife and on the car ride home and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have all these problems, all these things. And by the end of it, he's like, I actually feel better.
Yeah.
Cause I actually trust people now.
Yeah.
I actually have like a lack of need for control because I started to see like, oh, I'm more stressed. I have these negative ruminations and distractions because I'm so tight and focused on how do people perceive me?
Yeah.
Not how am I helping, blessing other people,
mm-hmm.
right? And in the line of work of creativity, whatever it is,
yeah,
you know, your job is to serve other people.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't serve other people, you're not doing your job.
Yeah.
And so you have to get to a place where you have, you can only give what you have. So you have the sort of thing that you're full, you've been served, you've done the necessary things to then be able to serve the other people. And it's just, I find constantly to your point about like washing away and different things, like when I'm my most potent,
yeah,
my most helpful, when I'm serving other people, whether it's this podcast or other settings, it's because my perspective is in line with the value I have to give.
Yes.
When I'm my most empty and down, I'm like, dude, F this.
Mm-hmm.
I've graduated. There's no way I'm in this spot.
Yeah.
It's because I'm dwelling on the perception of what I've achieved, accomplished, and would like to now get to,
yeah,
and how I think that those achievements and accomplishments warrant and I deserve where I want to get to.
10,000%.
And there's a disconnect between being full and ready to serve someone than being full and expecting more on the end of that.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, yeah. I'll put that even in short of just saying it's like, by and large, especially amongst painters, their least interesting work is always the self-portrait. Those are necessary, like, oh, that's what they look like in their own eyes. Well, we want to see that once. You achieve mastery when you change the lens, when you look, when you're into your, the point of your eyes is to actually look out into the world versus just to look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Where everything is just like a mirror and a selfie and a selfie and a selfie. And it's like, yeah, you can show the world behind you, but this is still a selfie and nobody's, that's not helpful to the human condition. And when you talk, and in theme and in things of just like capacity, it's so, it's a tried and true and it's almost simplistic in a sense, but it's so difficult again in execution. Mm-hmm. But this idea of like, if on one side there's ego and then on the other side is capacity, your capacity, the fullness of the fullness of your capacity or the extent of your capacity is dependent on the fullness of your ego.
Mm-hmm.
So if your ego is full on, yeah, you're in AI land because yeah, everything is all revolved around you and you're in your own little cocoon and you don't exist in the world. But when you change to that, when you change that lens to, well, let me focus on to the actual things around me, your capacity becomes God potential because right, it's quite literally, I the mean, egoless yeah, man walked on this earth
yeah,
in the full capacity of the entirety absolutely, of God because he had
yeah,
no, he had no self to aggrandize because he sure, was self.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, literally.
It's literal.
Yeah, it's like
at this point,
it's like your capacity, if you believe it's limited or not enough, it's because you're too focused on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you struggle for connection and with connection, it's because you're not curious enough about other people. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it just, so it was like
yeah,
bringing back to go back home is just like every single thing that worked and didn't work was all dependent on my actual curiosity about
yeah,
about the people that yeah, are around me.
Yeah.
Like when I'm making things that are, funny enough, my first little short film was a little bit of a self-portrait that I made back home, but that was the only one of those that I wanted to do. And it was cool. People reacted really well, but I could almost tell, I was like, oh yeah, cool, we're just seeing you, but like, what are you seeing about us?
Right.
that's what draws people in, mm-hmm. is just the, what are you seeing about us? Yeah. To the point where people want, they're so, because this is the condition that's happening with everyone. So many people are just seeing themselves and they're being fed a lifestyle across the board, whether you're in Zimbabwe or in Cincinnati or in Houston or wherever, where all you can see is yourself.
Yeah.
And that's cool, but that's also dangerous.
Yeah.
You have to see others. You have to see the world, right. Because the people that actually have that kind of a lens are going to come in so few and far between that people will just be like, please tell us about the world because we don't know. Mm-hmm. Because it's now getting, we're going to learn about these bubbles. Like when your cocoon is a literal bubble. And what do bubbles do?
Pop.
Pop. So if you've built your entire economy around a bubble, it's going to pop. If you've built your spirituality, it's going to pop. If you build everything that has its own bubble, and I'm sorry, I like AI. It's a beautiful tool. It's mainly just designed to make a U-shaped bubble. Mm-hmm. That's what our use case for it, for the most part, is.
This is the best description of The Big Short I've ever heard.
That movie changed my life.
I can tell. Yeah. He's talking about the housing market right now.
I watched that movie and I was like, I'm Christian Bale. Yeah. I'm me. That's me. And it's like, I would like to say that I have a pretty extensive work history. And part of my tension was in all of the things I was just being like,
hey,
bubble popping, because you can see yourself. You guys don't even see how you're treating each other people.
Right.
And it's like, you hate to be prophetic about certain things, especially when it comes down to, again, this is what happens when a bubble pops. So pop your own bubble. The only time, it's funny. It's like, it's interesting. It's like the only time you can actually safely pop your own bubble is when you're blowing in blank. Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
Because you're willing to do that. Don't build your life around it.
Right.
Because unfortunately, there is collateral damage in all of our bubbles popping because we do affect people.
Yeah.
We don't live in a silo.
I'm going to, when you leave this country, run with this analogy, just so you
know. Go for it, my brother.
you're done. That's
hilarious. Go for it, brother. Right.
Hard pivot.
Yeah.
Not hard, but pivot. We are about an hour in.
Yeah.
And we're going to wrap this thing up. Why do you clearly hate AI so much?
Because we are making our own God, and every single time we try to do that, it's terrible. And we mapped our own minds.
Okay.
And then we said, this is the pinnacle of creation. Every single time we've done this as humanity.
Yeah.
Every time. But this one is just, the ramifications of this specific one are very scary.
Yeah.
I like the fact that we're going up there, but it's like, all right, if we've mapped the human mind, why is all this stuff still going on? Why are we trying to go to the moon? Guess what, guys? The human mind is responsible for genocide.
Fair.
We did that. We've never been coaxed into a genocide by tornadoes. Even though we, like, acts of God take off like maybe a percentage of what we can do.
Sure.
So maybe let's not erect our own God and worship ourselves, yeah?
Here you have it. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it's just how we're using it. Yeah. As a tool, as a technology, fantastic.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure somebody should have been like, hey, Oppenheimer, bro, like, 6 Oscars is not worth it.
I don't know. from that movie, he's really smart. He has a lot of sex.
That's, I mean, so did Kanye. I don't know why you let me into that.
That's what you also get from his. He'll tell you.
He'll tell you. You know.
He's not afraid.
He's not afraid. And look at where we are now. Brutal. I miss the old Kanye.
What happened to the music that I love?
AI.
It's fair. That's fair. I showed Sarah a video the other day of MLK stealing a Freezy from a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this looks so real. And it's so funny. And I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I actually even bring it down like a little bit. So Zimbabwe is beautiful because it's you learn the power of people when they've seen. And this is something that I always talked about, like the power of people to survive sometimes the worst. We've never had like a crazy genocide inside. That's just part of our fabric as people. But my God, our people have been through a lot. And there's now, like, you walk around in Zimbabwe. I was asking this question last time I was here, of like when you drive around Zimbabwe, you see water tanks and you'll see solar everywhere, because at one point there was access to clean water was difficult and electricity, which has been gone 6 days out of the seven, and now people have built the systems and the structures to be able to say, all right, what would happen in Cincinnati, Ohio, if water went out for a week? And then what would happen in Cincinnati, Ohio, if electricity went out for a week? Now, those are the two things that this specific technology that we love so much requires. And we're willing to waste a resource that once it's gone is very difficult to find. Don't survive the worst just because you want to see MLK rap. And it's unfortunate where it's like we as Zimbabwe, because we're much more of a collectivist society than you guys are, when it's go time, and people just kind of do that and we survive. Here, y'all might want to get back to good old human interaction before you let this piece of technology that is now affecting elections, religion, all these things, just freely roam your society, and you don't know how to interact with each other as people because you don't have a common ground. Because it may be pie in the sky.
Sure.
But when the entire neighborhood is having to come to your water tank because you're the only one that has one, you'll learn that, turns out memes have repercussions. And you see that, and you see, that's why I'm just like, it's cool. It's fun. Sometimes I'll ask ChatGPT to give me feedback on some writing. And even then it feels like I'm shorting the process.
Sure.
And as a creative, if I have spent 10, 15 years of my life trying to build the voice that I have through the written word, why would I wash it all away with this AI? That's my real castle.
Yeah.
It's not a sand castle. It's not the internet. This is the thing that has built my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not offloading that part.
Right.
I worked too hard for this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real. It's true too.
Mm-hmm.
And people say this, the distinction is, right, like, AI is going to take every job. It's like, AI can't mimic like the human spirit. And it can't give life to certain, it's great at these marketing remarks and these like script, whatever, but it's not going to be able to, you know, convey the emotion in this way and whatever that you can. And like you're saying, like you've worked your whole life to form this voice, to do these things, right? Like I'm someone who's worked my whole life to get to a place where, hey, my ability to sew some words together will be the right kinetic sequence to get you to go, I just felt something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And more than ever, just trying to remind people in my own lines of work of like, AI is great when it pushes you towards more connection.
Yeah.
Because that's what people desperately need and want. So that's what I hear you saying.
If anything pushes us towards more real pushes us towards starting at zero.
Mm-hmm.
If AI will ever tell me to humble myself and teach me how to do that, fantastic.
Great. Yeah.
It was one of those, if it teaches me that, yeah, great. But so far the construct of it is, No, you need to stay in the bubble. You can have Africa in the bubble. Mm. What? You got just throw the goggles on. You can be in. It's like, nah, it's different. Mm. The real thing, it's just so much different. It's so much, it's better than you can imagine it, but you just got to go see it. Mm-hmm. And be again, we are at our point where we don't want to start from zero.
Yeah.
And it's basing every single thing. And that's the thing that I'm just like, go back to the start. It's actually good for you to do that every single day. It's like, the freedom you get of just, even if you're Pablo Picasso, just starting, it's like, I am a new artist today. I have my skills from the past. I'm not a bad one. I'm not a good one. I'm a new artist today. Look at the capacity that you have.
Right.
AI is within you.
Thesis. I love that. Parting remarks.
Yeah.
This is an open floor, like you've had this whole time.
Yeah.
What's one thing that you would just remind people of to encourage them, uplift them as your parting gift to whatever you come back to this side of the pond?
My encouragement. Go back to your high school. Check out Living Undivided. And drink more water.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been In Need of Attention. We will see you next time.